Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, we get two great people on the phone. Brother Johnny from the Center of the Universe, Philo, Illinois, VersaBar Philo. How are you,
DBJ? Hey, Philo, Illinois. Woo!
And Mike Ditka. Mike, you in Chicago?
I'm in Chicago today, yes, I am.
Fighting a cold or allergies? I'm fighting allergies.
I got a bad cold, but John, I was in Corpus Christi the other day, and evidently the oil business is going pretty darn good in the state of Texas.
Texas is doing great. You were down in Corpus Christi? You're kidding me.
I flew to Corpus to speak to the Ronald McDonald House, and I was really impressed. I mean, I haven't been to Corpus in ages, and that ocean front reminds me exactly of Miami in the 60s and 70s.
Well, you were within about 8 miles of the big machine, which is parked in Corpus right now. Yeah. And I was down there yesterday, Mike, with Stevie, with Spencer and Suzette Atkins.
Yeah, you guys saw the Claw, which is the 12-story claw that will pick things off the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico without risking divers' lives. It's an amazing innovation, Mike.
Well, we're down there. Yeah, Mike, if I'd have known that, I'd have had to come down and give you a tour. Next time, I'll meet you down there. But we're waiting on these storms to clear out right now.
Yeah, and then it goes to work, right?
I went in on a plane and came out on a plane. You know, they brought me right back.
Right. Well, that's great. No, Corpus is busy. There's a lot of things going on. We're trying to crank up. Drilling permits are kind of the thing you're watching, because the jobs and the projects and the discoveries are coming up. So now it's a matter of developing those, and if you can find some oil, which starts with drilling, then they're ready to go. The money's there, the need's there, and that's a lot of jobs right there.
Well,
right to work.
The oil company has said this week, they came out and said, if allowed, if we can get over some of the regulatory hurdles, we can create 1.4 million jobs, which would create $800 billion more for the coffers for the taxpayers, because you got more guys paying taxes, and 50% more production if we're allowed to do it. Why won't we do it?
Well, they're working at it. It's the same old thing. Yeah, okay, but you got to do ABC, and it slows things down. But I believe them. Look, those are pretty good jobs, too. You know, they pay pretty well, and they're pretty steady, because these jobs are kind of longer term. They're not real short term jobs, and it's there. So maybe that'll pick up a little bit more. But that's great. Yeah, right. Texas is in fairly good shape considering the economy we're in, Mike. So that's true. Great to have you down there in Texas.
All right. Last night, President Obama,
I am sending this Congress a plan that you should pass right away.
That's pretty much the only thing you need to know about the speech last night, is he wants them to pass it right away, kind of a all-or-nothing deal. He's going to go to every corner of the country. You've backed these kinds of things before. Pass it now. There's $450 billion in new spending. He says it's completely paid for. Dick Durbin this morning said it's completely paid for. The plan to pay for it is to go to the 12-member super committee and have them cut it. Now, there's no details in all of this. How is this allowed?
Well, I don't know, Mike. Did you listen to the speech?
Are you got to be kidding me?
Because I missed it, too.
Did he say anything? Wait, did he say anything? No, he did not say anything. Actually, you know, if you look, you listen to what Romney and everybody else said, they said more with a concrete plan of really creating jobs and cutting the deficit. He has no plan because, you know, he's a reactor. When you react and you don't lead, you got a problem. And that's what's happening right now, gang. I'm not picking on him. I'm just telling you, you become a reactor. You react to situations instead of fighting your way through the situation and having a solution for the problems. There is no solution for this problem right now coming out of the White House.
Well, and the other thing, I did hear the reports of more than half of the plan were infrastructure spending, which was a big part of the first stimulus, and it didn't really do anything. And then also extending the payroll tax cuts and the unemployment benefits, which really doesn't create any jobs. That was a big chunk of the 400
billion. 175, I think, 175.
Well, that's not going to create a job. The payroll tax, it's money in the economy theoretically, but it's not new work or a program that's very sustainable. So, and then it's more money. I think there's a lot of concern for the debt and, of course, the jobs. So it's kind of I don't know what he's done except add to the debt, and I don't know how many jobs we're going to get. I don't know how it's going to fly. I don't know why he got Congress together for this speech, because it put a big spotlight on it. I think it's just he's confident in his ability to speak, so that's his strength, and he's trying to go to his strengths, I guess. I guess you gotta give it all you got, and all he can do is he can give a good speech.
You're 100% right. That's his greatest answer. He's a great orator. But when you speak, do you say anything? And I think that's the thing. I think this deal right now, and I'm not saying I have a solution or anybody has a solution, but I think you got to look at common sense. You know, we got so many regular relations right now. We got the governments involved in everything. You know, you talk about trying to take care of people. We don't encourage people to take care of themselves. Yeah, I believe in helping people all you can. If you're down and out, yeah. But let me give you an opportunity to have a job. Do you want that job? Now, if you tell me you don't want that job, then I don't think you deserve the help. It's a common thing. Well, this country was built on that principle. And I mean, all of a sudden we're going to change it now because, the haves have more than the have-nots. So all of a sudden now, the have-nots got to take from the have. You can't, and Lincoln said the same thing, you can't help the poor by taking from the rich.
Well, and if you want to talk about, we hear about the regulations too, Mike, and a good example is our gasoline refineries, which can be built safely, and nobody really wants to live next door to one. So what that bottom line is, we can't build one in this country. There'd be millions of construction jobs if we could streamline a way to look at the environmental impact and look at the social impact of a plant or a manufacturing facility and get it going without having to go through years of study and political gyrations. You can cut that down. You don't want someone coming and building something tomorrow when everybody would be against it, but you could do better than we're doing, and that's the kind of thing that you could work on. You could say, well, let's cut half of that red tape out of here so that we can get to work and put things, build things, create things that not only create jobs, but help make our life better.
The only thing you said what everybody's against it. Not everybody isn't against it.
Well, and that's the other thing.
The environmentalists are against it. So we cater to one segment of our society, and we pull down the rest of our society. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, I'm all for protecting the environment, and I believe it's important. But I believe if it's also more important to put people to work and to... if you got a chance to put a refinery in that can put thousands of people to work and help our economy, I think you got to do it. I mean, it's one refinery. It's not like you're building them on every plot of land, every bayou in the country.
Right. Well, and the other thing is that's a good point too, Steve. I said if everybody's against it, and the truth is, at this point, if one out of 100's against it, it can hold things up for months or years.
And that
person may not really have a very good objection, or maybe they actually do. But you got to keep moving. You got to do what's best for most people.
Johnny, when we talk about environmental and drilling and all these things, to say that we don't want to do it around here, that means we're ceding the environmental label to China or India. Are they going to take better care than we would?
Exactly. And we put a moratorium on our deep water drilling, which we basically invented in America. We developed it. We're the best there is at it. BP, foreign oil company, had a problem. We shut all of our drilling down, and we gave Brazil $2 billion to continue their drilling on the same planet. They are on the planet Earth. And so... And they're not quite as, we kind of taught them what we know. And so to cede that to them doesn't make any sense. If you're really worried about the global environment, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's just head shaking, Mike. I mean, the things that go on all the time are just like the example of going to Brazil right after BP, and we're going to give them $2 billion to create jobs?
For deep water drilling.
I know.
Look, they do okay with it, too, but that just doesn't...
Why do they need my money, though?
They don't.
What the heck?
Complete lack of common sense. Common sense is a priority, and we don't have it.
Well, and you have to have it, I think, to survive. So we're all watching, and everybody's wondering what'll happen. It was an interesting political event, I guess, and we'll see what shakes out.
But considering the contentiousness of Washington. to come out like a school principal and scold, which is the way it sounded a lot of times, felt like a campaign speech. He says, I'm going to take it to every corner. That's a threat. Pass it now. Pass it now. Pass it now. I mean, it's not going to happen that way. And there's some ideas in there Republicans will like, but it's not going to pass as it is.
And I think he's trying to basically present a plan and say, we've got this solved if you pass it.
Right.
Of course, that's not true. But then if they don't pass it, he can say, well, I had it covered, and they
right.
wouldn't
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. All right, seven.
It's a pretty opaque, I guess, clear to me that it's somewhat of a political maneuver. I don't have a lot of confidence in the president right now. That's me. I think there's a lot of people in my position. We'll see what the Republicans come up with in terms of the candidates kind of consolidating and see what the landscape looks like in a few months.
All right, Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM, 745. I was pulling for the New Orleans Saints last night, Mike. It was a setup. You're never going to beat Green Bay and Green Bay after they hoist their banner. I mean, that was a good football game, but darn it, I wanted those Saints to pull it out.
Well, it was a great game. I mean, you're talking about two really good football teams, and I don't think you can say too much negative about the Saints. I mean, they hung in there, they persevered, and it didn't work out. But I'll tell you one thing, they'll be there at the end of the year. That's a good football team. But the thing that I'm amazed about, I don't know if the offenses are that good or the defenses are that bad.
Well, they were supposedly two of the top defenses in the NFC last year. I think the offenses are that good, Mike. I'm saying they are because I'm not sure Sproles isn't at least as good, maybe better than Reggie. And then, of course, Green Bay's loaded up. I was talking to Steve. I tell you what, one thing we had going, we had Roman Harper trying to cover Jamarcus Finley. You can just forget about that. I'll tell you, that's not good.
Both coaches did a great job with the mismatches. The quarterbacks were outstanding in the game, both of them. Breeze, I mean, they were they made the plays you have to make, and you're right. The Saints got a power runner. Ingram's a good runner. And
yeah.
Thomas is a good runner. And the other, Sproles brings a dimension to them. It's pretty special. I mean, I think he'll make the people forget about Reggie Bush in a hurry.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you, I've always seen the schedule. And the Saints got a good schedule. I don't think I'm going to complain about our schedule. That game was a marquee, open up the season, let's get it started. So it was a good game. It was a tough draw, but I was glad the way they played. Our season opener is Sunday against the Chicago Bears down in New Orleans. That's a good football team we're going to play, and we need to win that game now. We're 0-1, and I don't know. What do you think about that game? I don't know, Mike. The Bears are pretty good.
Well, the Bears are good. I think the Saints are a better football team, really. I just don't think the Bears can put up points like that, keep in a contest with them, and I think the Saints will be able to exploit the Bears' defense to the point where they'll get to 28 or 31, or somewhere in that area, maybe 24, and that'll be enough for them to win the game.
Mike, are you as high on the Chargers in Atlanta as a lot of the pundits?
Well, I think they're both very good, well-coached football teams. I like Atlanta. No, I'm not. I don't know if they'll win that division, I'll be honest with you. The Chargers, I really like. When you look at the Chargers, they self-destructed last year. Their kicking game killed them. They got to put all the ingredients together. They had a good defense. They've got a very good offense. Phillip Rivers is a heck of a quarterback. They've got a lot of pieces of the puzzle. Get them all there. Get that special teams worked out, and they'll be very good.
All right, finally, before we take our break, Peyton Manning, third surgery. What a shame.
Well, I think, guys, I think this is a lot worse than anybody really thought, especially Peyton. And I think when you start messing around with the neck and the nerves in the neck, you've got a major, major problem. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for the year. I really wouldn't be.
Well, too, and if there's any doubt about that, I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But there's a point that it's just not worth it when you've got a neck problem because that's a game that can really hurt you. And if you're already halfway there, you just got to stay out. So I don't know the details of what that's about, but I can tell you, I believe Mike is 100% right. That's a serious injury.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can get it get it fixed, and he can play some more. So no. Even if it isn't this season, he's 35 years old. That's amazing to me. He just started, Stevie.
Yeah, I know. He just came out of Tennessee. All right, we'll be right back. It's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Famer, Brother Johnny, member of the National Academy of Sciences, adjunct professor, University of Illinois. All right, Mike, I begin with you. Where were you on 9/11 10 years ago?
I really don't. I believe that I just got back from New York City. I'm almost sure I was working with either CBS or NBC. I just got back from New York City when we heard about it. I'm almost positive that's the way it went down. Because what day of the week did it happen on?
That's Tuesday.
Exactly. I just got back. I came back on Sunday, and then on Tuesday it happened. That's what happened. I was working for, I believe at that time I was working for CBS.
Yeah.
And it's really mind-boggling. But when you stop and think about it, the size of this world, these things can happen almost at any time. I mean, if people, you don't want to put enough diligence into planning something like that, they could probably pull it off because you don't have time to work. That stuff. No one's thinking, oh boy, somebody's going to come in and try to bomb a building or blow up a building or fly a plane into a building. I mean, it goes beyond our comprehension.
And Johnny, do you remember where you were?
Well, sure. We were in New Iberia, Louisiana. We were working on a project, and we were having all kinds of problems with this lift, and I thought it was the end of the world on Monday, but what was amazing is after Tuesday morning, my problems went away. It was trivial compared to what we were looking at in New York, and it put things in perspective, and everybody kind of got together. That's the silver lining in an event like that, you know, how everybody kind of pulls together and realizes some of the things we argue about really aren't worth arguing about when you put it against in the context of an event like 9/11.
Yeah.
So we enjoyed months of pretty good American spirit after that happened, and it was an interesting time. But we were pretty shocked.
Yeah, it was a really rough day. I think I called you that morning, Johnny, and briefed you a little bit because you were on the job and I was managing some radio stations. And I tell you what, it was horrific. We watched it. I saw the second plane hit the second building live. And just to see the buildings come down. Now, 10 years later, Mike, are we a safer nation?
Well, I think we're more aware of what's going on in the world. I don't know how much safer we are. I mean, I think, as I said, you know, it's a big world, and there are a lot of crazy people out there. And I'm sure that we think about these things a lot more. I mean, if you're talking about what we do with the airport security, well, yeah, I guess that makes it a lot safer. There's no question about it. I mean, it's not going to come out of a commercial airliner, I don't think, because it's pretty hard to do that. But then again, I don't know. I think if anybody has a plan to do something, they could find a way to execute it.
Well, and I think one thing that has, and maybe it's been a side effect of the Afghan and Iraq wars, I don't know about the plan, the strategy. There's been a lot of criticism. When are we getting out? Why did we go in? But one thing those events have done is drawn fire from a lot of the people who want to attack America. They've been fighting over there, and they've been doing anything they can to get us out. I think I don't even know if that was one of the goals of those wars and conflicts, but I think that has had a positive impact in America because so many people that would want to work on a plan to attack our country in our country have been working on those conflicts. So that's one thing that our soldiers over there have done for us is they put themselves in harm's way, and the enemy's attention has been directed over there. So there's one thing that's come out of those conflicts, in my opinion.
Any way we could ever let our guard down, in other words, come home, not worry about this, or is this just our lifetime? It's going to be there for a long time.
I think we're going to have to keep watching.
Yeah, he's right. Diligence is probably the best thing, and I think everybody's going to keep watching. I think what John said is so true. I mean, these people right now, a lot of them are busy fighting over in Afghan and Iraq. So, I mean, it's a lot of these people that would be worldwide terrorists right now or got their hands full over there.
Yeah, and you know what? It's
that ends. Who knows what they'll do?
We could never thank them enough, could we?
Not our guys, because they're going over there. And, you know, a lot of that isn't really defined. It's kind of just see what you can. You know, they're over here, guys. Try to find them. And it's a tough mission. It's a very difficult mission because the enemy's so hard to identify. So I've been very appreciative of whoever's gone over there. And it's a tough environment, and it's not a pretty place to be. And, you know, we take it for granted. We have our freedom and our day-to-day lives, but we've got a lot of people over there we can thank for that. And I think of them when we have an event like the memorial for 9/11. I think of the people who tried to prevent that from happening again, as well as the people who died in that attack.
And they do what they do so we can eat ham and eggs this morning.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't want to put it that simple. But you think about it, you know, we don't think about that. I mean, because we don't want to think about that. That's so far away. But they have to think about it every day because they have to live it.
Well, and our thoughts and prayers, I know how politically insensitive I am saying prayers, but our thoughts and prayers go to everybody who have struggled with 9/11, all the families, of course, all the rescue workers, all the people that have put themselves in harm's way to not only clean up the mess, which has been very dangerous health-wise, but, of course, going over there, as you mentioned, Afghanistan, Iraq, and other parts of the world to try and prevent it from coming to our soil. Mike and Johnny, always a pleasure. Compelling as always. We talk again Monday morning. Thank you so much, Mike. Johnny, I appreciate you both.
Thank you. Right, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you very much, John. We'll see you, Steve. Bye-bye.
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. We'll be back on Monday morning talking about the weekend's NFL games and whatever else transpires in this very large world of ours. I am Stevie J. We're going to break for the Fox News coming up at the top of the hour.